What's up, peoples? I said, what's up, peoples? Okay, hold on. Hold on. I said, what's up, peoples? I like that. Hey, what do you guys think of my shirt? I got it for $2 at a thrift shop. I don't know. You want to feel it? Right? Yeah, I don't know. It's comfortable. Hey, like I said beforehand, if I have not yet met you, my name is Matt Velasco. I get the privilege of pastoring all y'all fools, and it is my greatest privilege, and I love doing it. Tonight, we are wrapping up our initial three-week series in our second week of it because of the evil snow that we should all pray away. Hallelujah. Amen. This is our third week and final week. Like I said, Ash Wednesday next week, but we are doing a relationship panel today where you guys will be able to text in your questions. So we will have a number on the screen throughout the whole night. If you guys text that number, we will see your questions, and they will all be anonymous. They will all be anonymous. So what we're going to do is we're going to have each of our panelists say who they are and what their relationship status is, and share with us one fun fact about their hair that they've never shared with anyone. You.
Can you hear me?
Hello?
Is it on now? There we go. Hi, everyone. My name is Kevin Klingbeil, and I'm actually a pastor here at Westwood, so that's pretty cool.
Woo!
Currently married and forever.
Hey!
One thing about my hair. I don't wash it every day. That's a thing. Thanks. I think that was Aiden. Way to go. Thanks. There you go.
Hi. I'm Olivia Klingbeil. I'm married to Kevin.
Yeah, you are.
It's a fact. Fun fact about my hair, I could tell you so many things. I'm just kidding. I went 5 days. Yes, I washed my hair yesterday. I went 5 days without washing my hair.
Preach.
That water bill was getting too high, so we had to cut down on the showers.
How many of you have gone at least a week without washing your hair? Be honest. Embrace it. Okay. At least 2 weeks.
All of those who I had you in middle school camp, you all went weeks without showering.
What about 2 weeks? Anyone more than 2 weeks? I see a hand back there. Has anyone here ever gone a month without washing your hair? If so, you're a disgusting human.
All the way in the back. Who's...
Oh, Lord, touch you.
I get it.
Yuck. That is... Yeah.
Lord, touch you.
Okay. Person whose name I don't know.
My name's Kelly.
Hi,
nice
Kelly.
Nice to meet you. Hi. I'm single. And... Yes. I feel like I'm pretty like open about my hair, so there's not a lot of things that people don't know about it. Like an interesting fact about my hair is that it does change color like daily. So some days it's super red, like I'm a ginger, and other days people are like, you're super not a ginger, like you're very blonde. And some days I'm neither. So
that's like a really good fun fact about your hair. What do you mean you don't have any fun facts about your hair?
I don't, but I feel
good.
Like everybody knows, like I tell everybody.
I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Well, my name's Matt. I'm taken. That's all you need to know. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I've said it like 4 times today, but let's be honest. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know why. Okay, so we have a couple of initial questions that we have prepared because a lot of you have asked them. But like I said, you can text into that, or if you're lazy and would rather do the more difficult thing, you could go on Instagram and type in the little question thing, and I'll check that a couple of times. Lucy, don't make fun of me for doing this. So do that. So here, we're just going to jump right into it. We're not going to miss nothing because we have a limited amount of time. Okay. So how can I be friends with someone of the opposite sex appropriately? How can I be friends with someone of the opposite sex appropriately?
So, this is a guy's perspective. Yes, obviously. But me and Olivia were talking on this, because this was one of the questions you gave us beforehand. And so we were driving, and this question came up. And I thought to myself, if I were to give advice, I would say, just don't be weird. Like, to be a friend to someone is to be a friend to someone. And I think if you have feelings inside of yourself that are not friend feelings, don't be weird and stop being friends with them. Like, if you're having a hard time keeping boundaries with that person, whether it's emotionally or physically, just say, you know what? I'm going to distance myself from that person. That's okay. You might hurt their feelings, but that's a decision you're making for you, not the other person. And sometimes we have to do that. But that's my opinion. Just don't be weird.
Okay. I think that females, we are a little bit more emotional when it comes to relationships. I myself cried yesterday 3 times. One time because my dog ate like 8 ounces of cheese off the table. And I just really, I cried about that for a really long time.
Then the second time she cried because our dining table had streaks on it. I'm not even kidding.
Okay, I'm also pregnant, so.
She is pregnant.
Okay, I was going to say, you're also pregnant.
But, so.
I don't cry that often, so.
Okay, it's the hormones.
Wait,
so,
I cried 4 times today. What's that mean?
So I think that we are definitely more emotional humans, and we give ourselves a little bit more to relationships. Not that you guys don't, but we often tend to like give ourselves more emotionally to relationships, and I think that that can be damaging to us as females. So when you are spending time with someone of the opposite sex as a female, so we're hanging out with guys, just watching emotional boundaries, not sharing too deeply, not diving too deeply into your heart. So, like, Matt's a good friend of mine. Matt comes over to our house, like, every other week. I'm not going to share with Matt what's going on in the deepest of my hearts, not because I don't love him. He cares about me in that extent, but I'm not going to share that with him just because I don't need to. I can do that with my best friend, Jamie. I can do that with him as well. So it's kind of my perspective on that.
I remember, like, sitting in these seats not too long ago and hearing people say, oh, good Lord, you cannot be friends with the opposite sex. That is not a thing. And I just remember being really hurt by that because I have really good guy friends that I really love, and I love hanging out with them. But I, over the last few years, have had to really set a boundary for myself to say, okay, I'm not going to hang out with them outside of a group. Like, I'm not going to hang out one-on-one with them. I'm only going to hang out with them in a group. And so that's what worked for me. And I feel like you need to figure out what that is for you. You need to figure out what a healthy boundary looks like. And maybe you're different than me, and maybe you think that you can do that. But I would be very cautious about that. And then I think once, yeah, that's all I'm going to say about that. Yeah, mm-hmm.
That's good. I'm going to add one thing that's unrelated, and it's kind of funny. So that number's wrong, which means someone's getting all of your questions, and they're probably laughing.
It's been a week, man. It's been a week.
It's 7299. 7299. So don't text 2799. 7299. So resend it. 612-440-7299. And if someone texts you anything, I apologize
Block
for whatever
that number
they say.
Right now.
Don't do it. Blame it on me. Invite them to church. If all of you invite them to church, they'll come. I want to go to that church. 7299. So, yeah, now they're coming in. I was very confused. I was like, no one has any questions. This is sad. Okay. Now they're like, oh, okay, that was funny. Woo, I needed that. Thank you, guys. I guess thanks myself. Anyways. So I'm going to add one more thing. And I'll share a unique, not necessarily unique perspective, but I think a common perspective. I agree with the fact that girls tend to be more emotional. And girls tend to view relationships a lot more emotionally free. Meaning that for girls, especially in your age and in college, it's a lot easier for them to do what Olivia said she doesn't do, which is kind of share the depths of their emotions. And for guys, if you grow in a relationship with someone and you learn how to share your emotions with them, especially for guys, the ability to then open up about your emotions with another individual is really impactful in the way that we view them. Whether it's same gender friendship or opposite. I mean, I think of Ryan, right? Ryan and I have had some significant moments in our friendship where we have poured out our hearts to each other. And that has led to him being my best friend even still today after like 9 years of knowing each other. So that's significant. But when you do it on the flip side, when it's someone of the opposite gender, what can oftentimes happen is the guy oftentimes begins to have feelings for them, and the girl is like, nah, I don't like him, but I'm fine with him being my emotional boyfriend. And like that is a legitimate and genuine term, being, yeah, he's my boyfriend emotionally. When I need someone to be intimate with emotionally, I'll go to him, but I'm never going to make him my actual boyfriend. I'm never going to actually be seen in a public setting with him hand in hand with me or anything like that. And that's dangerous for relationships. I can tell you from personal experience that has ruined friendships that I know of or friendships that I've had for being on that side of things. And it's not fun. And for guys as well as girls, if you can just put up that boundary from the get-go, you're not going to have to struggle with it. That doesn't mean that you can't be close friends with someone. It just means that when you need to call and cry with someone, don't go to someone of the opposite gender. It's just as simple as that. Put up that boundary. So I'm going to read through all of this and see what we got. Okay. When it comes to prayer and praying in a relationship, what kind of boundaries should you have? Because prayer can become intimate. I'll start with my personal perspective on this. When me and Jay, my girlfriend, started dating, we made it pretty clear that we wanted to avoid praying together, just straight up. We just said we weren't going to do it at first. And the reason being was when you think about what prayer is, right, it's you opening up your heart to God. Prayer is perhaps one of the most intimate things a human being can do. And when you do that with another person, you are letting them into those same, if not even deeper, emotional depths that we just talked about in opposite gender relationships. And so it can be dangerous because it can speed you in a direction that neither of you are ready for, or it can speed one of you in a direction that neither of you are ready for. Now, it wasn't until me and my girlfriend decided that we were going to be serious about this whole relationship thing when we actually said that we were okay with praying with each other. And literally now we just pray with each other before meals. So we don't do any extended, let's get together and pray. I would love to be able to do that, but we have still have that boundary because it's such an emotionally intimate thing. So that's my perspective. And you don't have to agree with that. What do you guys have to say?
I would say there's so many different types of prayer that you have to decide for. I mean, there's intercessory prayer, there's prayers before meals, there's so many different types of prayer. So it depends what type of prayer you're talking about. Like, do I think it's appropriate for, if you go on a date and you're having a meal, to give thanks for the food that you're eating between the two of you? I think that's okay. I think that's a reasonable thing to do. Mm-hmm. If you are wrestling with something or struggling through an issue, do I think it's okay for you to go into long prayer sessions with your boyfriend or girlfriend? I think you're kind of setting it's what you said. There's an intimacy there, and having that other person with you doesn't necessarily make your prayers more heard by God. He still hears your prayers. So I would just be careful in what situations you pray, and really ask yourself, why? Why am I praying? And is it appropriate for me to bring someone else into that prayer right now? Or is it just between me and God, this thing that I want to pray about?
Do you want to add anything else? Great. So one question that we got a lot is, how do you learn to be okay with singleness? How do you learn to be okay with being single?
Well, that seemed directed. Okay. I think this has been like a lesson long time coming, but I think recently I have really learned that life is not about finding a significant other or a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a marriage. Our purpose here is to glorify God. And if we are doing that and then God gifts us with someone, then that's awesome. But our job here is not to seek that. And so I think knowing that, like, big picture, that my role here is just to glorify God and to be a light where I am and to be present where I am, that has really, like, really given me peace about singleness. And I think I went through a time in my life where I had, like, major identity crisis surrounding a relationship. And through that time, I really learned that, like, I am so complete without a guy. I am very as complete with a guy, but I am just as complete by myself, because I'm still with God in both situations. No matter what situation I'm in, I'm still beloved, and I still get to glorify God. And so knowing that big picture, that's why I'm here, and that finding a guy is just like a small thing and is really just a gift has really kind of given me peace about the whole thing.
I have some words. Can I say some words? Okay. Thanks. So I, like Kelly, view singleness as a gift that uses an opportunity to figure out what you like in another person. So use that as an opportunity to make lists. Instead of looking for the person that you're going to spend the rest of your life with, looking for the one, look for the one who fills up that list. Look for the one who completes the checklist that you are looking for. When you go to the store, it's insanely hard to look for something. Like, if you're looking at your store, looking at the store, we're going to the store together. I can't talk. And we're looking for a black shirt. I know I'm looking for a black shirt, and he's looking for whatever he wants to look for. It's going to take him a lot longer to go to the store and find who knows what. But for me, I know what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a black shirt. So it's going to be so much easier for you in a relationship setting to be looking for that person that fills those doesn't fill that void but is on that list. Does that make sense? Are my words making sense to you?
Yeah, it is. It's really good to have standards and holding to them. Because if you have a standard, and those aren't just standards of, like, I want him to have an 8-pack set of abs, dimples, and a really good hairline that won't recede until he's, like, 60.
So Kevin.
Right? Yeah, it's Kevin, first off. And he's taken. So that's not going to happen. When I say standards, I don't mean that. When I say standards, I mean, like, loves Jesus more than he or she loves me. Maybe treats his mother well or treats her father well or things like that. And they need to be realistic standards that you might be willing to budge on. Let's say that he didn't have a mom, right? It doesn't mean you should throw him out the window. Or she didn't have a dad or whatever it might be, but have standards that you can look to and say, okay, these are standards that have been spoken into my life. Does he or she hold up to them? And if so, then give it a shot, right? Okay, here's a question that we have been getting a lot of also, and that is, should I date someone who doesn't love Jesus? Should I date someone who doesn't love Jesus? Kevin, do you want to, on the count of three, say the question with, or the answer with me?
Yes.
Will you count us down, Kelly?
3, 2, 1.
No. Here's the deal. You have to ask yourself the question, should I date someone? The question needs to be asked of you, do you love Jesus? Because if you love Jesus, why would you want to be with someone that doesn't love who you love? I mean, ultimately, you are trying to find someone, like Kelly said, that spurs you on to glorify God. So if that, I think you have to change the mindset that you have in looking for a relationship. Because if you're always looking for a relationship that's going to complete you or make you whole, you're always going to come up short. But if you're looking for someone to spur you on or encourage you and support you or be a partner with you as you look to glorify God, then it changes what you're looking for. It changes the game completely. And so the challenge is you can't ask that question if your heart is fully committed to following God itself. And so I would ask you, where's your relationship? Where's your heart in love with God? Is it aligned to the things that he wants? Because ultimately, that's really what matters more than who you're dating. But.
Yeah.
I think that if you have to ask that question, then you already know the answer.
Yeah, amen. It really comes down to, think about it realistically, right? And a lot of people have asked the question, why should you date? Should you date in high school? I'm not going to tell you whether or not to date in high school. I know some people that did and it worked out. I know some people that did and it didn't work out. I know some people that did and they wish they didn't. I know some people that did and they're glad they did. So it isn't a, like, here's the right answer. It's different per person. But what I can tell you is that for a lot of people, sorry, you guys are asking a lot of questions and my leg keeps buzzing. For a lot of people, the reason why you date is to get married. And in fact, I would say that the reason why you should date is to get married. If you aren't dating to get married, even in high school, then you're kind of dating for no reason. And with that being said, why would you date someone who doesn't love Jesus if you won't marry someone who doesn't love Jesus? Now, just think about it realistically, right? Like 10 years down the line, for some of you, maybe 5 years down the line, I hope not, but whatever. Maybe whenever you get married, I had a friend my freshman year of college get married. My goodness. I mean, they're doing great. They got like 2 kids now, but they're my age and they have 2 kids. That's terrifying. Anyways, rabbit trail. But if you wouldn't marry someone who doesn't love Jesus because, let's say, kids, right? Are your kids going to be Christians? Do you want your kids to be Christians? What if they don't? What if they want your kids to be something else? What if they don't want your kids to be religious? There are just logistical, practical issues that come when you marry someone that doesn't love Jesus. And if dating is naturally leading to marriage, why would you even do it? A lot of you guys are telling me to answer all your questions. Some of you are texting me about the Chicago Bears, and you're not saying nice things, and that's mean. Okay, so I'm going to add on to that next one, and then we're going to do a couple more questions after this. So add on to that last one. So we just asked, should you date someone that doesn't love Jesus, or should you like someone that doesn't love Jesus? What if you're already dating someone? Let's say that someone came here a month ago, and they just said yes to Jesus, and they are already in a relationship. What do they do?
Tell that person about Jesus? I mean, your goal is not to save them, but ultimately you have a hope and a joy and a peace and salvation that other person doesn't deserve, but should receive. You have a gift you can give them in hope in Jesus. And so I would say share the faith that you have with that person. If they're not receptive to that faith or they're combative towards that, then I would say evaluate that relationship. Make some hard choices in your life and say, well, I've aligned myself with Christ. I've said, you know, I'm going to pursue the way and the will of God. And because you aren't, then maybe it's time for us to go our separate ways. Doesn't mean you can't be friends, but you have to have boundaries. And but I think you have to ask yourself the hard questions and do the work.
I want to encourage you as well. It's okay to break up. kind of the reality of the situation. It's okay to say, we need, like, I have this new relationship with the Lord, and that's what I want to pursue right now. Especially if it's something that's new in your heart. That's definitely something that you should take the time to stop and pursue. I know a lot of girls that I talk to a lot of girls about dating all the time. And this is one of the biggest things that they say is, like, they don't want to break up with their significant other for this reason, this reason, this reason. It's okay. You guys are in high school. This relationship, like Matt said, it might lead to marriage. It might not lead to marriage. And that's okay. You guys can break up.
So this actually happened to me. When I was in high school, I dated a guy for a decently long time for a high school relationship. And when we went to college, I was super involved in high school ministry here, and he would come, but he would come for me. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's coming to high school ministry. This is awesome. And then we both went to college. He went to a public school. I went to a private school. And when I went to Bethel. And when she says confidently,
go Royals.
So when I went to Bethel, I really got plugged into a group who was like, they loved God. And I was like, this is what I want my faith to look like. And I was like joining Bible studies and going to worship nights and all these things. And I was like sold out. Like, this is good. I felt so confident in my faith and who I was. Meanwhile, my boyfriend was at a public school, joined a fraternity, and was drinking every weekend, and that's not how he was in high school, and so he was kind of this, like, completely different dude. And so there came a point in our relationship pretty early on after we went to college where I was like, okay, like, I'm moving forward in my faith. I want you to come with me. But he was like, yeah, absolutely not. Like, this is what I'm doing, and I'm enjoying it. And I was like, okay, well then, like, that's it. And it, like, super sucked. But honestly, I think that was, like, one of the best decisions that I have ever made. It was one of the hardest decisions I'd made, but it was so good because I was able to really pour into my faith and not be held back.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, we have 3 minutes left, so I am going to attempt to answer one question, and then if we have time, we'll do a speed round. Okay, so a question that keeps getting asked a lot is, why is sex before marriage bad? Now, the reason why I like that question is because my hope is that it's not uncommon for you to know that Christians believe that you shouldn't have sex before marriage. So that's just a reality. Christians believe that you shouldn't have sex before marriage, and the reason why we chose not to talk about that often in this relationship goal series was because the majority of the world already knows that that's what Christians think, but then the question becomes, why? Why is that the reality? And I'm not going to give you a biblical answer. I'm going to give you a scientific answer, because oftentimes when the Bible says not to do something, things that are unbiblical also support it. So here's what happens when you have sex. And I'm just going to give you the quick one. This might be confusing. Hopefully it's not. But here's what happens when you have sex. When you have sex, these things called endorphins are released in your brain. For girls, the sexual endorphins that are released literally make their brain wire itself to believe that the guy that they're having sex with will protect them. For the guys, it lays down wires and endorphins and chemicals when they are having sex with a girl that says, I will protect her. Literally, a chemical bond is made between the two people. The girl feels protected. The guy feels like he's the protector. That's scientific. It's proven. Now, what happens when you have sex with multiple people is what is supposed to happen in the chemical reaction in your brain stops happening. So if you have sex with tons of different people and then you get to marriage and you're having sex with your wife or with your husband, the chemical reaction that exists that God put in your brains in order to make your marriage stronger is no longer working. That's why divorce rates are higher amongst those who have had a ton of sex before marriage versus those who haven't. Now, sex is not evil. It is a very, very, very good thing, and all of you should look forward to having that, right? I want you to hear me as a 23-year-old. Look forward to being able to have sex. Kevin, Olivia, can I have an amen?
Amen.
Look forward to having it. Look forward to it, right? And here's the thing. My goal is that we would not be a ministry that makes you scared about sex. Like, my goal is that we would be able to say it's a good thing and that I would be able to agree with you when you say, I'm excited and I can't wait. Amen. Like, sex is good, but there's scientific significance to not having sex. So Christians and people don't believe not to have sex just because we want to, like, kick out all of the fun from your life, but there's actual scientific significance in not having sex. So why shouldn't you have sex before marriage? Because it is literally healthier for your brain and it will make your marriage stronger. I promise you that. Okay. Speed round. Oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy.
I can't sit like that.
What?
Mike's at
the
ready.
Oh, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Should you be scared about being alone for the rest of your life?
No.
You're not. You have God.
Amen. Amen. Oh, goodness. All these are so not easy to do in a quick round. How do you deal with societal pressure to date?
Make your own choices.
That's good. Should you go to church with your boyfriend or girlfriend in high school?
Yes.
Come to high school ministry. Hey-o! Matt, how's your day going? I've had better days, but fine. How do you respectfully show Jesus to your girlfriend if they do not know him?
Invite them here, honestly.
Respect them.
Love them. Respect them. Mm-hmm.
Protect them.
Be good to them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's all. Hey, here's what I'm going to say. You guys can go. Hey, round of applause for our panel members.